Hey guys, welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano. We got a great podcast today. How about a guy who took his team to the College World Series this year? Ryan Fulmer is our guest. He's the head baseball coach at Oral Roberts University, ORU. He was actually a player back in the day with Oklahoma State and helped his team to the 96 College World Series. And then how about this, 27 years later, he leads his program this year to historical levels. 52-14 record, NCAA regional and super regional champions, and reaching their first College World Series, his first College World Series as a coach, and their first one with ORU since the late 70s. What a year this was for Oral Roberts. And when I saw the kind of journey that they were going on this year, I said, we're going to get their coach, Ryan Fulmer, on. We may even get a few of the players on down the road as well. But Ryan Fulmer was fantastic in talking about the journey that this team went on this year and the uniqueness of Oral Roberts in keeping Christ at the center. You're going to love this conversation with Ryan Fulmer. It's coming up in just a moment. First, I want to tell you about our friends at Water Mission. Check out watermission.org/join the team. That's the website, watermission.org/join the team. They do such great work. Our friend Scott Leinbrink has been on this podcast. He has his own podcast with Sports Spectrum called Get in the Game. He's an ambassador for Water Mission, and we know all about what Water Mission is all about, bringing clean water, safe sanitation, and hygiene solutions to people in developing countries and disaster areas. This is a ministry to get behind. This is a ministry that my wife and I sow into every single month because we believe it's the basic necessity, right? Clean water. How can people go without simple things like clean water? We take that for granted here in the U.S., but there are people all around the world who do not have clean water. Well, step in Water Mission, who is Christ-centered and wants to use the idea of sharing the gospel, but ultimately pointing people to Jesus by giving them clean water. Let's get behind Water Mission. Go to watermission.org/join the team. watermission.org/join the team. Is Ryan Fulmer, Oral Roberts head baseball coach, had a great season this past year. Hi, Ryan. How are you? Welcome to Sports Spectrum.
I'm good. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Absolutely. It's good to talk to you. Let's go back a bit. I'm certainly looking back at last season and such a historic one for ORU, a record amount of wins and rolling through the Summit League and making it all the way to the College World Series. Now that you've had time to separate a bit from that run, reflect on this past season. What was it like for you to kind of experience such a historic year for the team?
Yeah, I think, there's a couple things as we have been away from it a little bit more, you reflect on. And that's number one, how special the journey really was. Yeah. You talk about the long streaks. We had a long hitting streak in there. We had a win streak in there that was 21 or 22 games, somewhere along those lines, and you end up in the College World Series. And I think the farther you get away from it, the more surreal it becomes, really. But you appreciate the journey and what it took to get to that point. I think the second thing you look at is you just appreciate all the players that you have a chance to be around. Mm. And for us, not only were they great players, but they were good people. Represented the university in a first-class manner, represented our program in a first-class manner. So I think those are the two things you take away from it. It was a surreal journey. It was a lot of fun. And then you just appreciate the people you get to share it with.
Yeah, after the season was over, and that's always the hardest one is the last one, unless you win it all, yeah. Right? I watched your press conference, and I think Cade and Jake were with you. And I sensed that even in loss, even in that moment, that you were able to have a ton of gratitude even quickly. Because I think, like you said, when you separate yourself enough, certainly you can appreciate what this year was like and the journey and the relationships. But even in that moment, I sensed, as hard as it was, that you had a ton of gratitude there.
Yeah, no doubt. We try to preach the message that your identity is not wrapped up in your batting average or your ERA. Whether we had a successful season isn't always reflected in wins or losses. But I was very proud of that team. And, again, the way they competed, the way they represented, themselves and our university and our program. And I think in that moment, you just, try to make sure that your team is proud of what they did, understand the accomplishments that they had. And with those two guys in the press conference, I mean, unique stories behind both those guys too. Jake was probably the best in-house leader that we've ever had. One of those guys that just really led our group from start to finish. He was the heart and soul of the team. He was the team leader. He was the vocal guy. He was all of that. The best leader I think we've been around in the last 20 years. And Kay Denton, what a great story that is. Going from a walk-on that's 84 miles an hour to a six-round draft pick who was the closer of the year, and he's 97, 98 miles an hour, the incredible journey that he had. And to be able to be a part of both of those is it's humbling. It's humbling. So I wanted to make sure our guys understood that part of it.
You talked about identity, and obviously if you know about Oral Roberts, the one thing I love about ORU is the intentionality about glorifying God and keeping Jesus. Really, in the sports conversation, just like we do here at Sports Spectrum, how important was that for you as you reflect now through this historic past season in keeping Christ at the center and whatever that looked like as far as discipleship and just how you guys went about keeping that core group focused not only on what needs to be done on the field, but certainly the more important what's being done off the field.
Yeah. And not just this year really, but you know, we're at a unique place to where, you know, our faith is the center of what we do, and to be able to have a faith based program, I think is a huge advantage for us for a couple reasons. I think number one, it keeps everything in perspective. Perspective is a big thing that we talk about often. Again, we talked about our identity not being wrapped up in our sport or our numbers or how much we play. And I think that when you have that kind of identity, it makes it easy to be faith-based because you know the center of what you're talking about on a regular basis is Christ and our faith. I think so it brings a unique perspective to what we do. I think the second thing is when tough times hit, right, we have something to lean back on. We lean back on our faith instead of leaning into something else. I think we lean into our faith and what that stands for, and you know what God tries to teach us, what the Bible tries to teach us is very important in what we do in our everyday walk. So having a healthy perspective and keeping our sport in perspective, I think is a huge advantage for our guys, not only when they're here, but also when they leave here and other outside things start to pull at them a little bit. They can keep Christ at the center of that. And I think that healthy perspective is a lifelong journey. And again, having something, you know, to when it does go wrong, man, what can we go back to? Yeah. You know, God tells us, the Bible tells us that the storms are coming. We know they're coming. And to have your faith in Christ at the center of that, man, is such a relief for us.
What would you say was a storm, if you could describe one? Because I'm looking at your season. And it looks pretty good. There don't look like a whole lot of storms until the end. But what were some of the storms or maybe a moment, a pivot moment that you can point back to through this season where the guy started to grasp it and get it?
Sure. I don't know if I'd point to one specific moment where there was a turning point. But as you go on this journey, man, there's always storms, not just on the field. And I think that's what people always associate that with is what's going on the field, because everybody can see that part of it. You know, what you don't see is the struggles that guys go through off the field. We're talking 18 to 22 year old kids. Let's be honest. They're kids.
Yes.
They're finding their way through their journey. They're finding their way through what their academic life looks like, what their social life looks like, what their walk with Christ looks like. So the things that people see are what happens on the field. But there are so many things off the field that you have to navigate through on a regular basis in order to get to the ultimate prize at the end of the year. Man, you got to attack all of them, you know? So if we want to, I'm not going to get into anything specific off the field because I want to protect some identities,
but of course,
man, it was a long year. A lot of guys went through a lot of personal stuff, a lot of family stuff that happens, a lot of relationship stuff that happens. So, you know, those go a little bit unnoticed. I think what we can talk about is what happened on the field, right? You look at the beginning of the season and we were pretty average early in the year. Our first couple weekends were not great. So we had to kind of shift gears and figure out. I think when you look at our season and look at our team, and I've talked about this several times, we had 17 first-year players on our roster. 17 of our 32 guys on our roster were first-year players.
Wow.
So we knew we were going to go through some growing pains early in the year till our guys really had enough time to play together. So those first 20 games, man, it wasn't a struggle, but we weren't where we needed to be. We knew we weren't. So we had to make some adjustments kind of on the fly, and they made them really quick and were able to take off and had a tremendous run at the end of the year. And you talk about the end of the year and some of those hurdles, you know, we're down 8-0 in game two of the regional to the University of Washington, a really good club.
Yeah.
And a really good pitcher on the mound who ended up going in the top 10 rounds of the draft this week. So we had our work cut out for them, and guys kind of kept their head down, and we kept coming, we kept scratching and fighting and clawing, and ended up winning a game. We were behind 8-0. You look at the super regional. We were up 8-0 in game one, and we end up losing game one in dramatic fashion. And what that can do to the psyche of your team and what happens in those moments. And we're able to rebound and win game two and game three in a place that's really, really tough to play. Then you look at the College World Series, and in game one of the College World Series, we're down 3 runs in the ninth and end up hitting a 2-run home run to put us up one and able to hang on to win game one of the College World Series. So, man, we had a lot of those storms, but we knew they were coming, right? They were expected. And I think our guys rallied around each other, kept their faith, kept belief, and were able to make something happen in a couple spots where it looked like it was not good. It was not going to happen. And I think that just shows, again, a healthy perspective, a healthy belief system. And I know our faith was a part of that.
Yeah, I'd love to dive into your role as a coach and winning a game where you're down 8-0, and then a week later losing a game when you're up 8-0 or 9-0. What's your mindset as a coach? Are you able to stay? Because I don't know, if that were me, that's a tough one, right? Like, you're so exuberant that you just came back, and then a week later you do the exact same opposite. And you know what that team that you beat had to go through the week before. As a coach, how do you try to balance and keep the team in perspective, celebrate the wins, keep positive somehow when you have such a heartbreaker? And obviously you guys rallied because you went to the World Series, so that was amazing to watch. But those are, I mean, that's living and dying on every pitch. It's got to be.
No doubt about it.
There's so much tension there too. What's that like for you?
Well, there's so much riding on the line at that time of the game, right? Or at that point of the season.
Yeah.
You know, one game is a huge swing in either direction. So, and kids understand that. Kids know that. I think you handle it a couple ways. Number one, you know, we talk about the roller coaster of emotion. You know, you can get on this roller coaster of emotion, and the highs are extremely high and the lows are extremely lows.
Yeah.
But we try to stay somewhere in the middle all the time, whether it's at practice, whether it's in a game, whether we're regional, whether we're in a College World Series. You have to stay off that roller coaster of emotion. You have to be even keeled. You have to be able to have a clear mind to make good decisions on a regular basis. So that's a big part of it. We talk about, you know, not riding the emotions of the game necessarily. So I think that's part of it. I think the second part of it takes tremendous leadership inside your team, right? To keep that belief and keep that faith. I talked about Jake McMurray, our first baseman. We're down 8-0 in the second inning. He walked over to the umpire. He said, "Man, I'm going to tell you what, I guarantee you we're going to win this game." Right?
Amazing.
And to say that in that moment, in that atmosphere, against that team, against that guy that's on the mound.
Yeah.
Man, it took a lot of belief in what we were doing and what we're getting ready to do to be able to make that statement. So I think our players kind of fed off that kind of belief, right? I think the second part, we go back to the game in Oregon when we blow an 8-0 lead. And at that time, we had won 21 or 22 in a row, something like that. So, you know, after the game, I think all the eyes are on coach to see what he's going to say. And I was like, man, it's about time we lost one. I mean, gosh, this has been a long time since we've had this feeling. So I think that kind of relaxed everybody and said, yeah, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. We've won 22 in a row. You know, we just got to win two in a row now to get to where we want to get to. So I think it's a much different perspective on either one of them. But the story is, you got to have leadership inside your team. There's got to be a certain belief that you can get it done. And I think we had that. And try to stay off that roller coaster of emotions, right? I mean, just go out and play.
Yeah.
If we play well, we felt like we had a chance to win any game we were in, and all it took was us to go out and play well. There was no panic. There was no, you know, there was no desperation move on anybody's part. So I think when you do that from start to finish, and it just didn't happen in those specific games, That's the kind of team, that's the kind of group we had all year long. So I think it was easy at the end to try to navigate some of those things when you have that kind of team.
Yeah, it's the staying ready instead of getting ready, right? It's the preparation that gets you prepared. So when the moments come, good or bad, you know how to respond to them, storms or, you know, the hills and the valleys, as they say in the song. So he is Ryan Fulmer, and he joins us here on Sports Spectrum from Oral Roberts with their baseball club. Let me ask you about your testimony in Christ. Can you share a little bit about how you came to know the Lord?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I grew up in a Catholic household, South Central Pennsylvania, which is pretty common in that part of the country. You know, we attended church on a regular basis, and you go through all the educational programs and confirmation and first communion and did all those things. So I think the first thing is I grew up in a household where that was the center of what we did as well. Then I had the opportunity to come to a place like ORU, and I think my horizons expanded a little bit as to, you know, not just mass every Sunday and you go through the motions, but man, you figure out when you're in my position of how fortunate I am to be able to touch people spiritually as well. Yeah. Big part of our program, as we've talked about. So I think my journey not only came from the way I grew up in the church, but being able to come to a place like Oral Roberts where Christ is the center, not only of what you do on Sundays, but what we do each and every day. So I don't think I have one specific point where I was like, man, this is where I'm at. This is where my journey begins. This is where my faith really takes off. Yeah. I think for me, it was a gradual, having an opportunity to work here and be around Christ-centered, faith-based people on a regular basis, not only opened my eyes, but opened me up in a platform that, man, now I can share my faith. And I can do it on a regular basis to 18 to 22 year old kids and make a huge impression in their life, not just for the 4 years that they're on campus, but hopefully for the rest of their lives and their faith journey as they become leaders of their household at some point. So I don't think I had one turning point, but just being at a place at Oral Roberts, been here 20 years, and being able to be around like-minded, Christ-centered people has been a huge influence for me.
Yeah, because as a coach, you're constantly pouring out. And I love asking coaches this question because I think it's a real thing for every coach we've talked to on this show, whether it's high school, college, pros, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever. You're constantly pouring out into others. And so if you're not filling up your own cup, you're not going to have a cup that's full enough to be able to pour into others. What does that look like? It sounds like it's those Christ-centered people that you're around, but how do you stay filled? Because I'll say it this way too, Ryan. People who work in ministry, and I would classify Oral Roberts in many ways as ministry because it's faith-based, very much like what we do with Sports Spectrum. It's faith-based. It's easy to get caught up in the work that you do and knowing that the center is Christ, but still making that work an idol, even if it's good work, and forgetting that it's about filling our cups up with the Word of God and with Jesus. So how do you stay filled in terms of not letting yourself get empty too often?
Great, great question. I think, first of all, you better surround yourself with really good people, people that are not only smarter than you are, right, but are better people than what you think you are. And I'm fortunate we're around a lot of those people each and every day. And those are the kind of people that can be honest with you, right? They can have the tough conversations and say, hey, you know, we got to get going in this area right here, man. This is not where we need to be. How do we get better? How do we improve? And a lot of that is centered for us around your faith. How can we be better people? How can we serve better? How can we make sure we're making an impact on young people each and every day?
Yeah.
So I think that's the first part of that. And the second part, I might answer this a little bit more unique in, I think in the coaching world, in our business, you get wrapped up in wins and losses a lot, right? Yes. You get judged by your wins and losses ultimately. And when you have Christ at the center of that, when you have your faith at the center of that, I don't want to say the wins and losses are less important, but they take a back seat maybe to something else. So we talk about perspective a lot. So I think it puts a lot of wins and losses that coaches are judged by into the right perspective, right? It's a huge part of what we do, right? We're going to be based on wins and losses. I get it. I understand it. We accept it when we get into this business. But for us, the culture piece of this, the byproduct of having a good culture and having good perspective are wins, right? So diving into that component, not necessarily diving into how are we going to win a game. It's how are we going to get better, right? How are we going to keep perspective? How are we going to enjoy the journey? Too many times I think coaches get wrapped up in wins and losses and you lose a little bit of perspective. And when you lose some of that perspective, you lose some of your faith and some of Christ at the center of that. It can get blurry in a hurry. So to keep that healthy perspective, I think is important. And man, you better surround yourself with good people.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Accountability is vital. But with the wins, because obviously wins and losses necessarily don't matter. They do matter, but they don't matter in the grand scheme. But they provide you with a platform. When you go to the College World Series, now there's a platform to be the example and be the ambassador, if you will, that Jesus calls us to be. Were you aware of that? Were you cognizant of that as you're trying to get your team ready, also understanding the scope and the platform that your team was on to be able to say, okay, hey, guess what? We represent something maybe a little different than some of these other teams.
Yeah, no question. I think that is what makes us different. That is what makes us unique. That is what makes us ORU.
Yeah.
And to be able to convey a message at some point that, hey, we stand for something maybe a little bit different than most. And this is what makes us unique. And that this is how it's important to, man, the way that we play or how many games we win or, you know, what we do on the national stage. And you can have a healthy perspective. And you can have a faith-based university and program play extremely well and play at a high level. So I think our players understood those things totally. I know our coaches, not just in baseball, but around our athletic department, understand that at an extremely high level. So every time we have a chance to do one of these, it's very important for us to get our message out there and to let people know, man, we are different. This is a different place. This is what it is. I think it's attractive to a lot of people, especially in today's society. I think people are looking for something like what we have to offer. And the more we get the word out, hopefully the more people that are attracted to possibly come to ORU.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen the show The Chosen, which has been out there for the last few years. It's about the life of Jesus. They have a shirt that says, "Get used to different." And I love that because obviously it's the story of Jesus. So it's about his life and the disciples and the chosen 12 that Jesus calls. But that's kind of a good motto maybe for ORU, right? Like get used to different.
Yeah, no question about it. We're different. We embrace that part of it.
Yeah.
You know, it is something we're very proud of. And again, it's something we embrace. It's a huge part of our program. So, and I don't know that there's anybody out there that wouldn't want that as part of their education. For us, we look at it as part of their education, part of their experience. If they choose ORU, this is a unique place, man. But if you're really wanting to get centered, to have a healthy perspective, and also have a chance to chase your dream and be a Major League Baseball player,
yes,
man, this is the place for you.
No, that's great.
In the meantime, you get a chance to get a world-class education at a Christ-centered university. It's special. It's unique. It's different.
Yeah, get used to different. I love that. I want to go back a little bit for you and just ask you from a coaching perspective what that experience was like. Because it's March 10th, I believe, 2020, and you defeat Missouri State 2-0, and you get 250 career wins. And it's such a cool thing now. You've been more than that. You're up to, I think, over 300 wins now. But I want to ask you, because I think it was the next day, just doing my math, or it might have been 2 days later, when the pandemic was declared and the world shut down. As a coach, mm-hmm. what was that experience like for you to kind of walk through and have to tell some of your players, I don't know if we're going to be playing the rest of this year and kind of be, it's a little different, right? It's something that maybe hopefully we never have to experience again, but I think it's unique in testing your leadership and how you got to respond to something like this.
Yeah, it was uncharted waters, right? I don't think anybody really knew what the impacts were going to be. I don't think anybody really knew how we were going to have to address all the issues that we knew were going to come when everything shut down. It was a tough meeting. Yeah. And it wasn't tough for the guys that had remaining eligibility, right?
Yeah.
The guys that had an opportunity, maybe they were young, sophomore, freshman, you know, had some time left. What was really tough were those guys that felt like, man, that was the end. That was the end of their career. Not only their amateur career, but possibly the end of their professional career as well.
Yeah.
So that meeting with those guys was extremely difficult. But again, we talk about perspective and we talk about having a faith-based environment. And I think for us, it was obviously a huge blow, but I think we all had a healthy perspective on, hey, this is bigger than baseball right now, guys. This is not, this does not revolve around you. This does not revolve around our game. So I think our guys understood that and took it in stride. And we did a lot of things that most people did to try to stay connected and try to stay relevant and try to stay at the front edge on what might happen and how it was going to affect us long term. But it was a tough meeting, again, especially for those guys who felt like, man, it might be the end right here.
What did going through that for you teach you about yourself and maybe about God in terms of coming out of that and certainly coming full circle 3 years later, and you're at the highest peak of your powers as a coach at the College World Series. But what did going through that do for you and teach you?
Well, the finality of it, right? This is all going to end for kids at some point, and potentially could end for all of our coaches at some point too. So,
Right.
I think when you look at big picture, you never know what might happen tomorrow. You never know what tomorrow brings you. So you better take advantage of today. You better be in the moment right now. You better be where your feet are. You better take advantage of the opportunity that you have right in front of you today, because you don't know what tomorrow brings. And I think for our players, that was a huge message too. Like, you guys have been through this now. You understand that tomorrow's not guaranteed, right? Tomorrow is not guaranteed. So what we're doing right here, right now, is the most important thing that's going on in your world. So make sure you take advantage of the opportunities that you have today, because you don't know when it's going to end. So, and that was again one of those messages that was tough to convey, not only to your team, but to your coaching staff, to your support staff. And ultimately, you got to look in the mirror and go, hey, man, I don't know what's happening tomorrow, right? So we better make today count. And I think since the pandemic, I think, we've tried to exaggerate that a little bit and go, hey, look, we've all had this thing in. Let's make sure we take advantage of today. Be where you're at today. We'll figure out tomorrow when it gets here. That's what the pandemic did for me. I think that's what the pandemic did for a lot of athletes, is to let them know that, hey, it can end, and it can end quick.
It can end quick. As we wind down, what does the fall look like for you as a coach and with your players that are coming in and your new team as you put it together? People will be hearing this in the fall. What does the fall look like in preparation for what will be next year, 2024?
Yeah. So, when we get done playing in June, June and July are probably our busiest months of a year. You're trying to wrap everything up. You're trying to get your players off to where they're going to go play summer ball. You're trying to get some injuries to make sure you're taken care of. You're trying to get some academic things taken care of in preparation for the next year. You're also recruiting for the team that's going to be there in the fall. You're also recruiting for the team that's going to be there the following year, right? So June and July are months that are very chaotic for us. Then we get into the fall and our guys get back on campus around the middle of August. And then we hit another uptick in recruiting. So there's about a 6 week gap in there where we'll be traveling a lot. We'll be watching a lot of junior college games. We'll be watching a lot of high school select tournaments that go on around the country. Again, trying to get ready for the signing period that starts in November. With our team gets here in the middle of August. And we have about 5 weeks of small group work, individual work that we go through in preparation for our fall practice segment, our full squad practice segment. So those first 5 weeks, we're working on a lot of fundamentals, and we're going usually 4 or 5 days a week, and little bit shorter every day, but it's more one-on-one time, more fundamental work. You're talking about swing mechanics. You're talking about your pitching delivery. You're talking about all the things fundamentally and mechanically that we need to make adjusted before we get into our fall segment. Then we get into our fall segment. It lasts 45 days. We have about 32 workouts in a 45-day span. And in that time for us, we usually play about 18 to 20 inter-squad games and practices kind of in between. So it's that takes us to about the beginning of November, usually the first weekend in November. Then we take about 2 weeks. We get back into some of our small group work, individual work, again, to make some more adjustments before we send them home for Christmas. And then once they get back in the spring, it's go time. So our falls are probably more busy than our springs. Our summers are definitely more busy than our springs. So when we get to the season, when we actually get to start playing, that becomes the time where we're probably the least busy of the year. So our falls are hectic and chaotic. We'll wrap up usually around our downtime is usually from about Thanksgiving to Christmas. And once New Year's hits, then, you know, it's game on and the season's right around the corner.
No, I'm glad you shared that, because I think people misunderstand who don't play sports. I've been around sports for 25 years, but who don't play it necessarily don't understand the importance of the off season and what teams are doing to get prepared so that when game time does come, you know, they're ready to roll. And like you said, it's almost, you know, I don't know, I want to say relaxing, maybe that's not the right word, but it kind of settles in once the games start to play, because you know, you're scheduled and you know where you're going. Everything else is chaos. So love to hear that.
I love to tell this story too.
Please. Yeah.
You know, my grandfather was a coal miner, grew up in central Pennsylvania, coal miner, clay miner, worked on the railroad. And as he was getting older, fighting dementia, Alzheimer's, when I would go back to visit him, he'd always ask what I was doing now. Like, where are you working now? What are you doing?
Yeah.
I said, well, Pap, I'm coaching baseball. He said, coaching baseball? What do you mean you're coaching baseball? That's not a job. You need to go get a real job. Go work in the mines. Go work in the railroad.
Yeah.
So I always, every time I go through that with people, I think this of that story going, yeah, you know, it's enjoyable what we get to do. It's special. I love what I do. But at the same time, man, it never ends. It never stops. The recruiting component of what we do never ends, never really stops. And yeah, you're right. People a lot of times don't understand what the off season or what the summer might look like.
Yeah, we got work to do here. That's part of the That's right. the process and the success that the team has had. So let me ask you this last question, and thank you for your time. I really do appreciate you joining us here on Sports Spectrum. Gratitude. We talked about that word earlier, just for gratitude for this past season. But what's gratitude look like for you right now? What are you most thankful for where God has you? And maybe you've already answered this in some ways with some of the things you've said, but when you think about that word gratitude right now, where you sit, what's that feel like for Ryan Fulmer?
I think it's exactly what you said. It's where I sit right now. I think that's the thing you're thankful for is you look back on your journey. And again, not just this season, but you look back on your career and how you get to this point, and thankful for so many things. Number one, that, you know, you're able to land in a place like ORU that's different, that we get to do it much differently than anybody else does. You're thankful for the people that you're around on a regular basis that can keep you grounded, that can make sure that you're accountable. You're thankful for the players you get to coach on a regular basis. And I explain this to a lot of people too. You know, whenever you're in the recruiting process, you explain to mom and dad and whatever student athlete is sitting in front of you, you know what, buddy, you're going to have to spend a lot of time with me, right? Yeah. And I'm going to have to in turn spend a lot of time with you. So we have to make sure that this is enjoyable, because if it's not, you know, a 12 or 15 day road trip, when you're locked in a hotel or on a bus together, it's not going to look very good. Right.
Yeah.
So thankful for the student athletes that have been here and how enjoyable that is to come to work every day and be able to work with kids that are passionate about development and getting better and have a healthy, unique perspective on what we're trying to do, I think is invaluable. So, man, I think you're happy for where your feet are. I have gratefulness for where my feet are right now and how I got to this point and all the people around us.
Yeah, that's well said. He is Ryan Fulmer from Oral Roberts. Congratulations on an amazing year. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for sharing so much of what this year was like, but even what your journey's been like now in your 20 years with Oral Roberts. So just appreciate you and all the best to you going forward. And hopefully we'll have you back on again sometime.
Let's do it again. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
And many thanks to Ryan Fulmer from Oral Roberts for joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. I love talking to coaches. We have a lot of athletes on this show. We have a lot of broadcasters and media people and authors and pastors. We have a lot of coaches as well. And I think when I talk to coaches, that's my favorite type of interview. We've had NFL coaches on. We had John Harbaugh on a couple months ago you know, from the Baltimore Ravens. We've had many coaches on this podcast, and they're all unique in how they go about their job. But knowing that they're out there loving Jesus and wanting to pour into their players, right, to serve their players, and still being able to have a lot of success, that's always intriguing to me. And that's Ryan Fulmer, right? College World Series 2023. What a season they had this past year. And now he gets to try and do it again in 2024, which is always the hard part. How do we duplicate this? How do we replicate what we just went through, because it was so special? But we thank Ryan for being here today on Sports Spectrum, sharing his story, his journey with us here on the show. We thank you as well for tuning in. Want to remind you about our Sports Spectrum magazine. You can go to sportsspectrum.com and you can subscribe to our quarterly magazine. It's a great resource for people to read stories about sports, in-depth stories about sports and Jesus. It comes quarterly to your house. If you order it, you can order a one-year subscription or a two-year subscription right now. We keep it affordable for the year, but we want to offer you a 15% discount as well on a one-year subscription. So go to sportsspectrum.com, click that magazine icon, and when you order that one-year subscription, put in the code podcast15, podcast15, and you'll save 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. Hope you'll check that out at sportsspectrum.com. We also hope you'll come back next time for another episode right here on Sports Spectrum. We love you guys. Have a great rest of your day, and we will see you soon.